Our last presenter will be Paul Winalski on Crashing DeckNet for fun and profit.
Okay, I work for Deck itself, and this is an internal war story of sorts. Dates back about 5 years. It's not a new story, although the technique that I'll be describing here is applicable today. In DEC, we have a very large DECnet network that we call today the EasyNet. Some have said that that's a drastic misnomer, the easy part, that is. Everyone agrees it's a net, and like all nets, you can get caught in it. At any rate, it's got about 5,000 nodes in it. It runs Phase 4 DECnet, and it's wonderful and everything like that. Well, back in the earlier days, about 5 years ago, it was called the ENET, E standing for engineering, and it connected together several VAXes and 20s and RISTIS machines and RSX machines and so forth, just within the central engineering group. Those were the days of Phase 2 DECnet before dynamic adaptive routing got added to it. And each node could only see the nodes that were directly adjacent to it. To get anywhere that was beyond one node away from you, you had to use a technique called poor man's routing, where you chain the node names together. And that required that each user actually know the topology of what the network looks like. So network maps were very valuable commodities in those days. And engineers within DEC would amuse themselves by playing games like going node A, :, node B, :, C, :, D, etc., all the way around the perimeter of the engineering net. There was a contest for a while to see if you could actually chain all the way around the entire perimeter of the net back to your home node, and who could get the longest chain. I got one that took 15 minutes to say username to me once. Going through both Reading, England, and Colorado, and then over the satellite to Puerto Rico and back. But anyway, I was a system manager at the time, and our group had just moved to the new engineering facility up at Spiffbrook Road in New Hampshire from the mill in Maynard. And in those days, it was especially important to have an up-to-date map because the topology of the network, as new machines came in, as they were about every other day, kept changing. And the network being about 150 nodes, the only way you could get this topology information is by logging into guest accounts here and there and doing a show net and writing down what was there or getting it on hard copy and then making a map up from that. That got to be a real drag, and so I started thinking about using task-to-task communication for doing this in an automated fashion. And so I wrote a little command procedure that would open sys$net for write access using a DCL open statement. It would then assign sys$ output to that, actually just did assign sys$ output to sys$net, did a show net, and then you could just copy this task to the non-priv DECnet account on the node of your choice, or actually since it had to be adjacent, you just copy it to the adjacent node, and you have it do a show net or an NCP show known nodes or what have you, and you can thereby find out by running this all over the place what you had. Now, I named this thing probe.com after Star Trek, where they were always having Chekhov fire off probes here and there to find out what you're doing. And you activate it by saying, type node name, :, open quote, task equals probe, close quote. And you do that, and it would go off and create a DECnet link. The data from ShowNet gets siphoned off through the DECnet link, and it magically appears on your terminal, or into a file if you want to do it that way. Well, I decided there was a further improvement I could do. If I just put this thing such that it would send a copy of itself to all the nodes that it got from show known nodes, I could have this thing in an automated fashion create the entire database I needed to do my network map for me all in one swell swoop. Okay, very well. So I wrote that, and there was only one thing I forgot, and that is that network adjacency is commutative. Now, I discovered this in short order when I ran this on our machine, Me2, and it said Me2 is adjacent to Galaxy, and it's adjacent to this other node, and adjacent to a third node, and then it says Galaxy is adjacent to Me2, and I realized immediately what was going to happen. And then, sure enough, it said Me2 is adjacent to Galaxy, and I said, okay, it's in a loop, control Y. And I got my DCL prompt back. However, I put set no on the front of the command procedure because I realized some of the nodes might not be up or might go down in the middle of this, and I didn't want to have the whole thing fall apart on me. Well, it didn't fall apart. It kept going hell or high water, and I didn't realize this right away. But the system was getting awfully slow, and I couldn't figure out why until I did a show system, and there were all these network tasks there. And they were all running probe. So I deleted them all, and as fast as I delete them, they came back. Well, okay, there was nothing to do but to break our link to Galaxy and then clean the node out and not put it back. Reboot, yeah. We'll get to that part later. So I did that, and I cleaned our node off, and I figured, okay, we'd better make sure this does not get to node VAX4, which was the central hub and had about 12 connections to various parts of the world. If it ever got there, the whole net was sunk. Well, I had to head it off at Node Star, the VMS development machine, which was our link out to VAX4. So I ran downstairs to a VMS development group on the first floor of the Spitbrook facility, and I went into the machine room, and there's Andy Goldstein, and there's Tim Halverson, and there's Len Kaywell, the DECnet project leader, and three or four other VMS heavies, all on terminals, madly typing away. And Tim says, I think I got them cleared off Galaxy. And Len says, no, you didn't. They're back again. Just then, Miles Connors, the C project leader, comes over from Dave Cutler's group and says, Wilbur just crashed. The system disk is full, and the system crashed, and it's full of log files, probe.log. I don't understand what's going on. Well, this was the first that the VMS group ever heard of me. But I introduced myself and explained what was going on, and we managed to clear that problem up. And then I went back up, and after we'd managed to clear out our own area, and we managed to put in a probe.log /32767 on all the machines to prevent it from running there again, we reattached to the network, and then the problem was to see what had happened to VAX4. Well, by then, VAX4 was off the net. And anyway, I called up Jim Miller, the engineering net manager, the next day and explained what had happened and apologized for it and spent the rest of the day cleaning log files and probe.coms off of all these machines all over the place and hit all the VAXs and got rid of them all. Well, a few days later, the other thing I did was I immediately renamed, moved probe.com to a privileged directory and put all kinds of protections on it and forgot it ever existed, changed the little template command procedure I'd used to create it, in which I used all the time for doing these remote network task things, to netprobe.com, just to make sure I never set it off. Well, a few days later, I had to go find out something on one of the machines in Colorado called Mariah, and I copied it over there. Copied over a netprobe.com to do some little thing that I wanted done. And then my fingers had memorized a neural path too much, and I said, type Mariah :, task equals probe, carriage return, no, control Y. By the time I could say show system, they were on me too already. And so I thought, well, if I can get them on, if I can get onto VAX4 and take care of it there, then most of the problem will be solved, and we won't have to take the whole net down node by node and clear them out like we did the last time. So I said, set host VAX4. Wait. Username. Guest. Carriage return. Longer wait. Password. Carriage return. Control return to node, me too, insufficient resources at renode node. I call up Jim Miller, and he says, Paul, I'm going to have you castrated. I made suitable groveling apologies, and we took the net down, and I cleared out everything again, being extremely thorough this time. Found out, among other things, that this stuff had been running in Reading, England for about 18 hours by the time I got to it. It was still running when I got to it, and I had to go inoculate that node with a probe.log 32767 to shut it down. And so everything was fine until a couple of weeks later. I came in the morning, late as usual, around 11 a.m., and logged on, and it said, "Welcome to Vax VMS version 2.N. You have 180 new mail messages." And I'm looking through there. This was a little bit unusual, beyond my usual 10 or 12, and I looked in there, and there's mail from all the kinds of system managers all over the network saying things like, "We're going to kill you," and all kinds of stuff like that. So I called up Jim Miller and said, "What is this?" And he's there, "That probe thing of yours went off again." You know, "What is wrong with you? We're going to take away either you or your machine," you know. And I'm there, "I didn't do it. This is the first I've heard of it. I got rid of that thing. You know, I know I cleaned it off of every single Vax on the E-net." And so I said, "I'll go clean it up." So I went around, and this time I made sure I kept careful track of the times on all the log files so I could find out where it started. And I found out that it started on this Vax in Merrimack that was completely surrounded by Ristis machines. Well, I got tried to figure out where in the world this first probe.com could have come from, and I did a directory of the default DECnet account on one of the Ristis machines, and they were all full of these probe.coms. Because the command procedure could copy the file okay over to the Ristis machine, but when it tried to run it there, it failed. So hence, the Ristis machines and also the RSX machines at that point, since they didn't have DCL on RSX, could act as Typhoid Marys, and they could carry these things around, but you couldn't run them there. Now, what had happened was some poor user or poor system manager, no one ever owned up to this, but somebody had looked in that Ristis machine's default DECnet account, seen all these Vax command procedures there, and couldn't figure out what it did, so they copied it to their nearest Vax and ran it. Now, the interesting thing is to consider what would happen these days on a 5,000-node network where they're all adjacent to each other because of Phase 4 DECnet. Thank you.